Well, again, just want to extend a very warm, a very sincere welcome to everyone that has joined with us tonight. We do thank you for coming. We appreciate that some of you have probably already had a busy day. Well, some of us have also had a busy day. I think this is me preaching for my fifth time today. So we do thank everyone that's come, and we trust the Lord will bless you for coming, and the Lord will give help in the preaching, and that there might not only be a willingness to listen to God's word, but we pray that there might be a willingness to respond to it and to receive the Lord Jesus as Saviour. The meetings will continue tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night and Thursday, every night at 8 o'clock, so you're invited to come back again. I'll be preaching tomorrow night and Tuesday night, and then Wednesday and Thursday the responsibility will be Stuart's, and Stuart will preach on these two occasions. So the meetings will continue right through this week to Thursday, and then commencing again next Sunday, and Sunday right through to Thursday of that week as well. So thanks for coming. We remind you that the meetings are being taped, and there'll be CDs available of the messages as you leave the hall. And the left-hand side, there will be CDs of the messages that have been preached. And, of course, the messages are also been put on the web, and they're available at www.newcomnut.org. You can listen to them online, or you can download them onto your own computer or your own CD or MP3 player or whatever. But there we go. Thanks for coming. And if you're here for the first time, then a special welcome. Trust that you might feel at home. I was going to say we trust you'll feel comfortable, but you know, the reason for these meetings is not to make people feel uncomfortable. If you don't know Christ as your Saviour, if you've never really come to know God through the Lord Jesus, then we're really praying that you might feel uncomfortable tonight and that you might be disturbed to the very point of repenting of your sins and receiving Christ as your Saviour. So we're going to read a few verses in John's Gospel chapter 1, and then a few verses in John chapter 3. John chapter 1, and we'll commence just at verse 4 and read down to verse 12. John chapter 1 in verse 4 says, concerning the Lord Jesus, and it's the Lord Jesus that we're really going to focus on tonight again. We really don't preach anything else apart from Christ. We're not preaching a religion. We're preaching a person. We're preaching the person of the Lord Jesus. So right away, we want to focus in on what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus. It says in verse 4 of John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Chapter 3 and verse 18, just for a few verses. John writes, he that believeth on him, that is on the Lord Jesus, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that's all we're reading. We know that God will bless the reading of his word. And I'm sure it's obvious from our last hymn and from the reading of the scriptures that we want to speak tonight on the subject of the Lord Jesus as being the light of the world. There are three great truths that are developed in John's Gospel and also John's epistles, which are tucked away at the end of the Bible. And it's the truth of light and the truth of love and the truth of life. And these three great things are seen in their fullness. They are seen embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus. He's the very fullness of life. He's the fullness of love. And he's the fullness of light itself. And we want to speak tonight about the Lord Jesus as being the light of the world. I wonder if you've ever tried to imagine a world where there was no light. A world of perpetual night. A world where there was no prospect of a dawning. A world where there was no glimmer of hope. A world where there was no warmth, where there was no radiance. A world where there was just coldness and despair and distress and anguish. awesome thought, isn't it? A world without light. And yet the Bible tells us that there is a world to come that is like that. The Bible tells us that those who die in their sins, who die without Christ as their Savior, they're going to find themselves in a realm of outer darkness, eternal darkness. A world of eternal despair. A world of eternal death. A realm in which there is no hope, and there's no warmth, and there's no love, but there's anguish and anxiety and torment forever and ever and ever. My friend, can I warn you at the start of this meeting that if you die without Christ, if you reject the light of God that shines in His Son, the Lord Jesus, then that realm of eternal darkness you will experience forever and ever and ever. We're living in a dark world. Who could question that? Who could doubt that? We're living in a world of spiritual darkness. We're living in a world of moral darkness. We are living in a world which is full of despair and anxiety and concern. A world in which men are stumbling about seeking for truth and for reality and trying to find a way out of the mess that their life is in. And they're searching in the darkness. But praise God, there's a light that's shining in this darkness. We read concerning the Lord Jesus that He's that light that shines in the darkness. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 1 that one of the great purposes for which the Lord Jesus Christ came, it was that He might be a light to those that sit in darkness and who are under the shadow of death. Does that not just describe our present society? Men and women sitting in darkness and under the shadow of death. In fact, the Bible speaks about men walking in darkness. Also speaks about men sitting in darkness. Speaks about men dwelling in darkness. Speaks about men and women loving darkness. Oh my friend, that should just be written over our century. That could be written over this decade. This society in which we're living is a society that is marked by deep spiritual and moral darkness. People are groping, they're searching. They know something's wrong. Stuart touched on that the other night there. What is wrong with my life? And people know instinctively there's something wrong. But where's the answer to be found? Where's the way out of the mess? Where is the hope? What can we put our faith in? Who can we trust? Praise God, in this world of darkness where men are groping, seeking, searching for truth and reality, praise God, there's a light and it's shining. And it's shining in one person. It's shining in the person, the glorious person, the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, as the light of the world, He says, I am come as a light into the world. And He says, he that whosoever believes in Me shall not abide in darkness, shall not stay there. Isn't it wonderful to think that we can come into the light? That we can be brought out of that realm where we're in the dark, where our eyes are blinded by the God of this age, and we can come to a realm of light, a realm of truth, a realm of reality, a realm of certainty, a realm of assurance, a realm of faith and trust and hope that is centered in Jesus. And the Lord Jesus came as a light into this world that those who believe in Him will no longer dwell in darkness, but they'll have the very light of life. And my friend, the reason these meetings are being convened night by night, we're not convening these meetings because it's easy for us to do that. Stuart's got his work during the day. It's not easy for him to come at night and prepare a message and preach it to the people. We've got to get other things to do. We're not preaching because it's a hobby, but we're preaching because we're intensely interested in the souls of men and women, and we long that men and women might be delivered from the power of darkness and that they might come into the realm of God's wonderful liberating light. The Lord Jesus is that light. In fact, John says He's not only the light, He says He's the true light. He's the true light that now shineth, that now lighteth every man that comes into the world. He's the true light. You see, there were those that were listening to the preaching of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus says, was the greatest of all men that were born of women. There was none greater than John. He was the last of the prophets. He was the final prophet. And what a man was John. As John preached in the wilderness, people flocked out to hear him. They thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the answer to all their problems, that he was the Savior. He says, no, no. He says, listen. He says, I'm just the voice shouting in the wilderness. He says, I'm not the light. He says, I'm only pointing people to the light. The true light is Christ. The tragedy is there were many who were deceived and they thought that John was the answer. And John says, no, no. He says, the answer is no in me. The answer's in Christ. The answer's in Christ. My friend, you beware any preacher that draws attention to himself. Every true preacher of the gospel, every herald of the cross and the message of the Bible will point people away from themselves and will point them to Christ and Christ alone. He's the true light. In contrast to everything that is false, everything that is just deception. My friend, the Bible tells us concerning the devil that he's a deceiver, he's a liar, he's been that from the very beginning, he's still that, and he's duped and he's deceived multitudes. And there's multitudes tonight in our world and they're following men. They've put men up in a pedestal. They've set them up as prophets. They've set them up as apostles. They've set them up as that, and the next thing. And they follow after them. And they listen to them. And they obey them. And they put their trust in him. My friend, the Lord Jesus is that true light. It's not an apostle we need. It's not a prophet we need. It's a glorious Savior. And there's only one Savior. And there's salvation in only one person. And his name is Jesus. He's the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. My friend, we're pleading with you to look away from men and look away from everything else tonight and look to Christ, because there's hope and there's life and there's reality, and it's in Him, and it's in Him alone. You know, there's an old man. Well, I reckon he was an old man. We read about him in the early chapters of Luke's Gospel. His name was Simeon, and one day he got a glimpse of Christ. And he held the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms, and he said concerning the Lord Jesus that he was a light to lighten the Gentiles and his people Israel. A light. You know what Simeon went on to say? He says, let now thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was prepared to go. He was ready for heaven because he'd seen the light. He'd seen Christ. I wonder if you've seen the light. Well, I'm not talking about some flash of lightning from the sky. I'm not talking about some illuminating brightness that suddenly fills the horizon, that fills the... My friend, the light is in Christ. It's not an experience we're talking about. We're talking about, my friend, a point in our life when we come to the Lord Jesus and we realize that in the Lord Jesus and in the Lord Jesus alone, there is hope, there is salvation, there is life. Life in all its fullness. Life eternal. Have you seen the light? I tell you, once you've seen Christ, you're ready to go. And that was the experience of Simeon. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let me depart in peace. He was ready for heaven. He'd seen the Christ. He'd seen the light. Are you ready for heaven? My friend, if you've never seen Christ, if you've never trusted Christ, I want to tell you, you're no fit for heaven. You're no ready. But my friend, we praise God that you might, we pray to God that you might see Him tonight and see in Christ your only hope of life eternal, your only hope of escaping that blackness of darkness forever. The light of Christ, the light in its radiant brilliance. Praise God, there's a light shining tonight. There's a light shining. The light of God's grace, the light of God's salvation, it's shining, and it's shining alone in the person of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that blinded eyes may be opened tonight, and that men might see the light, that they might see the hope and salvation that God has provided in His Son, the Lord Jesus. But I was thinking not only of light radiating, but I was thinking of light revealing. Light revealing. That's what life does, doesn't it? It reveals things. You know, you go into a darkened room and you can't see a thing. You switch on the light and you can see everything. It's all made clear. It's all been manifest. It was all there before, but it was the light that it was the light that made it manifest. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, He came to make things manifest. He came to make things known. He came that things might appear exactly as they were. and is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the one hand, he manifested the glory of his Father God. He made him known. He revealed him. And on the other hand, as the light of the world, he revealed the sinfulness and the need and the corruption and the depravity of the human heart, your heart and mine. You've been into a Julius, haven't you? Some of you folks that are married and engaged, you know, you spent a lot of time going round the jewelers. And you've been in there, and I tell you, I've never been in a dark jeweler's yet. You get in a jeweler's shop, and it's emblazoned with light. And there's the spotlights, and every one of them is focused on a separate item. And these intense spotlights are designed to do one thing, just to show forth the beauty and the glory of the item, the ring, the bracelet, the silver, the gold, the diamond. And you take that diamond and that silver bracelet and you bring it out into the daylight and it just doesn't seem like the same item, does it? Because the light enhances, the light shows forth its glory. But I'll tell you what else the light does. You know, during the course of the day, there's various customers come into the shop and as they look at the different display cases, they put their little fingers on it. And the little fingerprints are all left on the glass. And as the light shines upon it, it is all made manifest. And the light doesn't only enhance the glory of the item, but the light also reveals the dirtiness and the marks on the glass. You women know about that, don't you? Many times have you been out with a pail and the water and the window lean or whatever, and you clean up the windows and there's not a smear. There's not a streak in sight, and everything's sparkling clean until the sun gets up. Until the sun gets up. And I tell you, when the rays of the sun, when they hit on the glass, you discover it's almost as if you've wasted your time. All the streaks are there, all the marks are there. Or you've been inside and you've been tidying up the house and you've been polishing the furniture and the table and the sideboard. It looks absolutely wonderful, not a mark in sight until the sun comes up and the rays of the sun just show forth all the imperfections and all the marks on the furniture. That's what light does. That's why some people just keep the curtains closed. They don't want people to see and they don't want to be reminded of the dirt and the imperfections and the marks that are all over the place. That's why people keep away from Christ, you know. Because the closer we get to the Lord Jesus, he shows up all the marks, shows up all the imperfections, shows up all the sin, all the deficiencies that are in our lives. That's why the Lord Jesus wasn't really very popular. That's why these religious men can skulk about in the shadows all the time. They didn't want to get too close to the Lord Jesus because he showed up their hypocrisy. That they were living a lie. They were pretending to be something that they weren't. And in the presence of the Lord, they were exposed. And you know, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, every one of us is exposed. I don't know how my wife gets on, you know, living with perfection. Hey, imagine living with perfection. Rubbing shoulders with perfection every moment of every day, being confronted with someone that was absolutely sinless, that was holy. I tell you, that'd be the last person we would want to keep company with. Because every time we looked at him, every time we heard him, we would just be exposed and we'd feel so ashamed. That's what Christ does. That's why some of you are going to stop coming to the meeting soon. That's why you're going to stop coming. Seen it time and time and time again. And people come to the meeting and they listen and suddenly the light, the penetrating light of God's holiness, it suddenly bears in upon them and their sin is exposed and they don't like it and they just go away. They go away because they love their darling. Yeah. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ there was the absolute fulfillment of the law. The Lord Jesus, you know, was the only law-abiding citizen that ever lived. There's not a single law-abiding citizen in this hall tonight. Not a single individual is a law-abiding citizen. There's only one individual that has ever kept the law, and it's Christ. That's why the law can never be the means of our salvation. Because the law never saves, the law never justifies, the law condemns us, it exposes us. And the Lord Jesus is the embodiment and the fulfillment of that law. He exposed all the sin that was in men's lives. So what Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, if it wasn't for the law, he says, I wouldn't have known sin. He says, it's by the law that there is the knowledge of sin. It's not by the law there is salvation. It's not by the law there's forgiveness. It's not by the law that there's redemption. No, it's by the law that there is the knowledge of sin. You see, if there was no law, if there was no speed limit, then we wouldn't know we were speeding. You know, if we came into the town of New Cumnock and all the signs were taken away, then we wouldn't know we were breaking the law if we were doing 45 miles an hour. But once that sign goes up, that brings to us the knowledge, it brings an awareness of the law, and when we go above 30 miles an hour, we've broken the law, and we do it not ignorantly, but we do it willfully, and we do it knowingly. And Paul said, that's what the law is like. I remember my father-in-law telling the story that he used to go to school, and he used to jump out the back door, and he used to cross the farmer's field to the school at the other side of the field. Never thought anything of it. Until one day he jumped over the fence and there was a sign there, no trespassing. Wow, that was different, wasn't it? That law brought the knowledge of sin. He realised that every time he went over that fence, that sign condemned him. That sign showed him that he'd done wrong. That sign showed him that he was trespassing. He was going beyond that where he should go. And by the law of God, by the Ten Commandments, there comes to us the knowledge of sin. And every one of us have broken God's law. And as we ponder them, as we think about it, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. We shall not steal, we shall not covet, we shall not bear false witness, we shall have no other gods before the Almighty, the supreme, unique God of heaven, the only God. And every one of us, we come to the law. And that law was embodied and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And what does that law do? It just shines a light upon us. And the light of God's holiness, the light of God's purity, just manifests all our impurity, all our sin. And we stand guilty and we stand condemned, every single one of us. Not a single law-abiding citizen in this place tonight. Oh, you've maybe kept the laws of Great Britain. Maybe you have. But there's not one of us have kept the laws of God. And the light of God's glory, the light of God's holiness as seen in the Lord Jesus, it has just exposed us. And we don't like it, do we? We don't really like it, do we? Nobody likes standing before Sheriff Gow or Sheriff Smith or Sheriff Ireland or whoever they are nowadays, and the finger of accusation being pointed at us and the sentence and the verdict of guilty in place. Nobody likes it. How much more solemn, how more serious when the finger of God is pointed. And God says, listen, you're without excuse tonight. You're without excuse. This light has shone from heaven in the person of the Lord Jesus, and that light has just exposed in my presence what you are. That you're guilty. You're a sinner. And thus you're condemned as you stand guilty. That's what light does, doesn't it? But praise God, the light of Christ, it not only reveals our imperfections, reveals our iniquities, our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, our rebellion, our disobedience. It does all that. It shows us how far short of God's standard we have come. We stand condemned. But praise God, as the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, He not only exposes the ugliness of our sin, but praise God, He makes manifest the glory of His Father. In the person of the Lord Jesus, we really get to see what God is like. Oh, He shows us what we are like, but praise God, He shows us what the Father is like. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He has made Him known. And what do we learn about the character of God when we look at the Lord Jesus? We learn that God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. My friend, that's light, isn't it? That's hope. You know, that's offering is something that we can lay hold on, something we can grasp, something we can depend upon tonight in this world of spiritual and moral darkness, and we're part of it. He is a light that's shining. It's the light of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus. And God is telling us through Christ, listen, I love you. Yeah, you've fallen short. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you're defiled. You're unclean. Yes, you're guilty. But I love you. I love you. And you look through the Gospels, and who could ever question that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to men the very heart of the Father, the heart of love. If we could even hear the beat of Christ's heart tonight, we'd discover that his heart is beating with love and compassion for you and for me. One occasion he saw men as sheep without a shepherd, lost, lonely, in the darkness, and he saw them. He was moved with compassion. That's the heart of Christ. That's the heart of God. God is a compassionate God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. And although his law condemns us, he sent his Son, not just to reveal our sin and to reveal his glory, but he sent his Son to do something about the problem. He sent his Son to go to a cross, to die for our sins, to take away the problem of sin forever, to take it out of the equation. That's why Christ came. And that's where we get the greatest display of God's love. We get the greatest display of love at Calvary. The greatest display of man's hatred and hostility and cruelty at Calvary. But praise God, there's the greatest display of God's love at Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, will never be lost, will never experience that eternal darkness, shut out from hope and salvation and forgiveness forever. We'll never experience that. But in contrast, we'll have everlasting life. My friend, tell me, do you need any more than that thing? Do you need any more than that thing? The devil will tell you need more than that. You need a bit of religion thrown in. You need a bit of self-effort thrown in. And you need a bit of this and you need a bit of that. My friend, you need nothing more. In the light of the purity of the person of the Lord Jesus, yeah, we stand exposed. But in the light of the glory of God's love, my friend, there's a light of hope. There's a light of salvation shining. And my friend, there is hope in Christ. There's salvation. There's life. There's forgiveness. And it's all in Christ. Why is it in him? It's because he's the one that paid the penalty for our sin on the cross at Calvary. He, the sinless one. He, the just, the righteous one, died for we, the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God. My friend, what a message tonight. We're not preaching a religion. We're not preaching about works. We're not preaching about the keeping of the law. My friend, the law condemns us. We're preaching about salvation that's alone on the acceptance of the work of the Lord Jesus on our behalf on the cross at Calvary. Praise God, there's a light shining. Praise God, that light reveals our sin and yet reveals the glory of God's love and the glory of God's grace towards fallen man. But my friend, that sadly, that light is oftentimes refused. It's rejected. Men were lovers of darkness rather than light. Neither would they come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. The Lord Jesus came to his own. His own received them not. They said, no, we don't want them. Men rather wanted to skulk in the shadows. It was still that men liked in their lives, their sins, their habits, their pleasures. They wanted to hold on to them. They didn't want these things exposed for what they really were. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to acknowledge their iniquity. They didn't want to confess their sin. And they said no to him. And sadly, there are many, and that's just what they're doing today. Say no to him. They're trying to turn away from that light. They're trying to turn from that light, to hide from it. When is that you tonight? Because you love the darkness. You love the darkness. There's things you can practice in the darkness that you don't get too upset about. Nobody knows about them. It's all secret.
But when you're suddenly exposed to the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of God's, you suddenly realise just how serious these things are. That's why some of you are going to stop coming to meetings. Because your conscience is going to get quickened, awakened. You're suddenly going to see sin for what it is. You're going to be ashamed of it. Rather than face up to it, confess it and get rid of it, you want to hold on to it. Rather than become convicted of your sin, you'll just skulk away back into the darkness. And you'll sit there and you'll dwell there. And you'll love to be there. And ultimately, the moment you die, the trap door will open. And my friend, you'll plunge into that realm where light will never, ever enter at all. The rejection of light. But praise God, there are those who receive the light. Those that open their heart to it. Those who allow the Lord to expose them for all that they are. And thus they come to Him in all their need and all their poverty of spirit. And they trust in Him. And what does He do? He takes them out of darkness. Delivers them from the power of darkness. And He translates us. And He puts us into His own kingdom. The kingdom of the Son of God's love. That's what God wants to do to you. He wants to translate you. He wants to take you out of one realm. The realm of darkness. He wants to bring you into the realm of love, the realm of light, the realm of glory. My friend, do you want to remain in darkness? Just to grope, stumble your way through this life with all its cares, its burdens, its anguish, its anxiety. Just go on wandering in the maze, the great spiritual maze. Is that what you desire? Holding on to your sin, holding on to your pleasures, holding on to your habits. Or, my friend, are you prepared to come tonight? I'm under the searchlight of God as it is revealed in Christ, and allow yourself to be exposed as a guilty sinner before God, and just come and say, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I don't want to run from you anymore. I don't want to hide from you. I want to come into your presence. I want to confess the sin, and I want you to cleanse me with the precious blood that flowed from the wounds of Christ and Calvary." My friend, don't refuse Christ today, but receive Him. And to those who received Him, to those who are given the authority, the right, the privilege to become the children of God, even to those that believe in His name. The Lord Jesus takes us out of one realm. He brings us into another realm. The moment we receive Him, out of the realm of darkness, into the realm of glorious, eternal light. My friend tonight, the Bible says, while you have light, believe in the light, while you have light, you've an opportunity tonight. This is a day of golden opportunity. Tonight light is shining. Opportunity is given. Salvation is offered. You can get right with God tonight. But while you have light, that really tells me that light won't always shine. The opportunity won't always be extended. Salvation won't always be available. It's available now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. We might never see tomorrow. My friend, if you die in your sins, if you die without Christ, still hiding in the dark, still holding on to your secret sins, my friend, if you die in that condition, then you will experience a world where there is no light, a perpetual night scene, where there's no prospect of a dawn, no glimmer of hope, just eternal anguish and despair. Torment, darkness, forever. Is that where you want to end up? Do you really desire that to be your eternal doom with no way about, no way out? My friend, you can escape from that tonight by coming to the light, allowing the Lord Jesus to expose your sin and to confess it and to receive His full and free salvation. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we just give thanks for this opportunity to declare the gospel, the good news. We thank Thee for the light of the world. We thank Thee, our God, for the Lord Jesus, who, as He came into this world, it was a world of darkness, but He came to bring hope. He came to bring a revelation from heaven. He came to bring salvation. He came to give a display of Thy mercy, that men, our God, who were blinded by Satan, that their minds, their eyes might be opened, that they might see the truth, that they might see the reality that was embodied in Him, and that they might turn away from that which they were by nature and that which they practice, and that they might turn to the Lord Jesus and receive, O God, the fullness of thy forgiveness in him. And so we thank thee, O God, for this opportunity to present Christ as the light of the world tonight. And we just pray, Father, that hearts might have been searched by the Spirit, that sin might have been exposed in thy presence. And we pray that there might be those tonight who, before they even leave this place, that they might truly repent of their sins and receive the Lord Jesus and be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the Son of thy love. Bless thy word, O God, to each and every heart. We pray that, O God, that the devil might be prevented from snatching away that good seed, but we pray it might be implanted deep in hearts and consciences and might bring forth fruit for the praise and glory of God and his Son in the salvation of sinners. So, O God, take us home in safety, we pray, but take us home with a note of solemnity in our hearts, O God. We know that Satan would desire just to bring a lightness into our minds the minute the meeting's finished and cause us to be distracted onto worldly things and things that don't really matter. But we pray, O God, that the solemnity of thy word might remain with us tonight, and those who are sitting in these seats right now that are still lost and still perishing and still heading for that place of eternal darkness, we pray, O God, that they might be awakened and they might flee from that darkness and that wrath to come, and they might flee to the open arms of Christ, the only Saviour. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Now again, we just thank you for coming. The meeting is now entirely over, but we'll be at the back just to shake hands. If we've said anything that you didn't agree with or that